Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. I really do appreciate that. And we are back to summer after we had a little bit of fall this weekend. Our guest to start off the show today is City Commissioner Ed Noonan. Sir, thanks for taking some time out to chat with us today.
Sure. Glad to be here. A beautiful morning looking out over at up to the Sleeping Giant.
Yeah, we've got a good view in here, don't we?
Yeah, nice.
It's not bad. Lots better than the last studio that you were in, just the broom closet, right? Yeah. And you're a busy guy. You got to get up to Carroll today, don't you?
Yeah, the new students have arrived, and I help out with advising, so I'll head right over to...
You can't help yourself. You do an awful lot of things.
Yeah, it's always been the way. When I get a little idle, I start getting worried, and then before long, I'm, of course, into way too many things.
That's when you're in trouble. So yeah. We got to keep Ed out of trouble. And we had Ed in this morning mostly to sort of talk about some happenings with the commission. There's of course, been a lot of talk lately when it comes to just city happenings in general, but one issue in particular of concern, the Civic Center. There's been a move to shift care and management of that building to the – it's now the Parks, Recreation, and Open Lands Department. Is that the new title for that?
Yeah, that's still part of this decision.
Potentially. Parks and Rec, we're adding open lands is the thinking. And now on the surface, I'm sure you can see where there's confusion because the Civic Center doesn't seem to be a park or an open land. You know, it doesn't seem to fall under those three things. Right now it's in the Community Facilities Department, and just on the surface, name-wise, it sure seems to fit there a lot better. So is that where immediately it adds some confusion?
I think so. In terms of people not really understanding what the emphasis, the shift from facilities to parks will do. One of the ways I try to present it, and of course it comes from my experience working with nonprofits, especially in the arts. That,
and you spent some time with the Myrna Loy too, right?
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah. So.
There's a balance that's always hard, especially for a historic building like that, between facility and the mission of the building. And so the Civic Center, of course, has been really lucky because when the city took it on, they made a commitment to keep it vital. And it is. It's one of the crucial symbols of our community. Mm-hmm. If it ever started to fall apart or just become discarded in a sense of care, the community would suffer a great deal. But it is expensive, especially the running of the building mm-hmm. itself. So over time, Gary Carpenter for years ran the building, and then he became the head of facilities. And in that time, the building has been kept up in a wonderful way. The Civic Center Board has put a lot of money, a lot of work into raising money for the building. But also, there's always the desire to have more going on there. And recently, 2 years ago, we did a study to find a way, how can we get this building used more? And a lot of good things came out of it, which was a simplification of the process to rent. One of the things that happened over the years was the building was primary. And so it was like, you can't do that. It could hurt in some ways mm-hmm. the building itself. And was often limiting and often caused issues. And after a while, then it was also tied to more expense because it was like, if you want to do that, you're going to have to pay more. So the study 2 years ago said, no, simplify it. If you want the buildings there, the city is paying for it. The whole budget is 1.1, but usually the deficit is around $400,000. So the city's invested in that. And it really needs to be. I'm kind of rambling here a little bit, but when in the last 2 years, the increased use of the building has made it a little bit more secure, but we still need more use. Mm-hmm. It'd be better. The idea is to try to reduce that subsidy by around $100,000 if we can. This year we had the money, there was in reserve, but in the future it won't be there.
So how does moving it from the facilities department to Parks and Rec, how does that free up the money? Where does the money then come from?
Well, the money will either, there'll be more money from the use of the building and from rental of the building, or the city will continue to pay that deficit. I'm committed that should happen. The Civic Center being sure. There is primary. But for years, one commission after another always questioned, well, why are we doing this? Should the city be paying that much money for the building? So when it goes to parks, it'll be in an area where a lot of the same goals are present. So parks work with people in terms of use. What kind of needs are there for use? Like, do we need more trails? Do we need more biking trails? Do we need a park here? Do we? How do we meet the needs of golfers? How? So it's very customer-oriented or consumer-oriented in its understanding of how you build programs, of how you gauge them over time, find ways for more use. So,
is there concern then, though, that then you're going too far on the other side, and then you have people running an event venue that don't necessarily know? They know open lands, right? They know parks. They know you've got a new director, and all of a sudden you're saying, okay, now you have to run this building. Are there concerns that now the facilities part of it are going to be underserved?
Well, I think that's where the concerns are. I don't think that will be the case. For one, all the people who work for the Civic Center, they're still working for it. The concerns are more like, well, maybe 3 years down the road, people won't care or something. But right now, it's just taking the staff that runs that building and putting it in under another person. One of the things that happened over time was, although it was in facilities, it started to report the head of the Civic Center, in this case, Byron Dyke, mm-hmm. to the city manager. So that becomes a little harder in the day-to-day. So that was part of the idea, well, to put it in a place where there would be a lot more direct contact and care with people who understand a lot of the concepts of the business and also can learn more specifically about that building. And Parks has been great to respond to the community's desires to create that really great program they have going on.
Yeah.
The things for kids, the incredible hiking world that we have, our large, extensive use of
parks.
Yeah,
there's certainly a lot going on. City Commissioner Ed Noonan is our guest this morning. Is there, and you bring up a good point, because the parks has so much going on. Now we're adding something else to their plate. Do they have the staff and the increased budget to handle adding something else?
Well, the whole budget for the Civic Center comes with it.
Okay.
This year, as I said, in this need to reduce things, the budget was $100,000 less, but we use money from reserve. So that one of the desires in this is to find ways to make it a little less expensive to run.
Sure.
I would say the balance has been tipped a little bit towards the facility, that was primary. And I believe that what this will do, it will bring a little more balance to that. So it's not only with a primary concern about the building, but also a primary concern of how can we use it and make it more vital.
Yeah. You got at the first reading, you got an awful lot of pushback from the public, from the Civic Center Advisory Board is really vehemently against this move. Is that a concern? Because these are people that you as a commission have appointed and said, we want you to take care of this building. And now those are the people saying, we don't want you to do this. Where do you find that balance in making your decisions?
Well, in my case, I have worked with these people for years. And, you know, it is primarily a lot of the same people who have done this good work over and over again. So I'm not being dismissive of the importance of their point of view. But I don't think it's realistic to not at least examine and continue to question how we make the building more vital. For instance, most of the money that's gone into it, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of it has gone into carpeting, into the actual basics of the facilities. But it has not kept up with in terms of a lot of the technical equipment you need to run a really good venue. So the venue is limited. Mm-hmm. One of the issues we used to struggle with was whether it was a two-truck show or a three- or four-truck show. So what that means is if you bring in a musical, for instance, a Broadway tour, if it has four or five trucks, it's a big show. Now, it's going to have a hard time fitting in the Civic Center, so you always make choices. But it kind of got down to, no, we'll only take two-truck shows. And what that means is you're kind of forced into a mediocre product. Mm-hmm. Better sound equipment was needed, for a while the answer was, well, we don't have that. So now we can rent the building, but also go out and rent one of the sound groups out of Great Falls, Missoula. There are some smaller ones in Helena, but for a bigger show, you had to go out as well. So, yeah, maybe investing more money in the actual equipment to run a show would help to get more use.
City Commissioner Ed Noonan is our guest this morning. We've got a couple minutes left with Ed, and I suppose our related concern and something that the advisory board brought up is they're very concerned about the privatization possibility of the Civic Center. Because if that building's privatized, especially, you know, you've worked in the arts, you understand how that works. All of a sudden, if the Myrna Loy is privatized, another company comes in and buys it, things become much more expensive because they have to make their money back. So if the Civic Center is then privatized, I've talked with folks that use that for different events, and they're really concerned about, you know, if a company comes in and buys this, we're done. We will not be able to afford to have our events at the Civic Center anymore.
Well, that really isn't part of the plan. The privatization, which is not, I don't think the right word, is that there will be some investigation about, is there some group that would want to use it in some ways that might support the goals both of reducing that $400,000 deficit or just to increase the use and get better use. The privatization kind of stands up like a boogeyman. We have some, you know, Helena's government commitment to the arts is great. One of Grant Street's in a city of Helena building. Now, we don't look at that as privatization. Mm-hmm. We just look at the city helped them by giving them the building for a very minimal fee of $1 a year or something. And then on the other hand, the county does the exact same thing for the Myrna Loy Center. So we already have examples in the community of ways that a government and a and a local group who have worked together to keep these facilities going. Even when the Myrna Loy had problems, when I started, the county was still very much committed to helping the nonprofit find a way to do it. Well, I don't think that model is going to apply to the Civic Center, because they're, what it would mean is a nonprofit would either come in and just take over a part of it. Let's say we'll just take over the presenting and the rental of the building. But you're still going to have the $400,000 right. on the for somebody's going to have to pay for the building. So that would still be with the city. I don't believe there is a local group like a nonprofit like Grant Street or Myrna Loy who really could afford to run the programming and also to take care of the building. So there might be a partnership down the road there. I personally don't see it. And I'm convinced that the only way that building's going to survive is that the city continues to take a proactive, loving interest in keeping that building and what happens in it as part of a vital part of our community.
City Commissioner Ed Noonan, our guest this morning. Ed, before I let you go, this is going to be talked about again at the meeting on the 26th. So there's still time for the public, if they want to show up at that meeting, hear the commission talk about this, if they want to stand up and give public comment, they can still do that, right?
Correct. The meeting is at 6 o'clock. I forget where on the agenda it is, but it'll probably be at least around 6:30 or so. But
okay. They're on the third floor of the city commission building?
Yeah.
Okay.
320. I mean, yeah, the city commission office.
Yeah. All right. So, folks, you can show up there if you want to talk about this. Give your input if you want to hear Ed and the other commissioners talk about their beliefs. The whole issue is going to be talked about again on the 26th during their meeting at 6:30. Ed, thanks so much for showing up today.
Sure.
I sure appreciate it. We'll let you get out to the kids over at Carroll.
Okay. Thanks.
Stick around. Good. Hazardous waste coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking with us. We're closing out the show today with Rebecca Connors. She is the Public Information Officer. She's here to talk hazardous waste, specifically hazardous waste disposal, right?
Correct. A lot of households and garages, they can have chemicals, toxins, anything that has toxic, caution, warning, flammable, that's pretty much a household hazardous waste. And that can accumulate in our houses and garages. And this is a great opportunity to dispose of it properly through the hazardous waste event on this Saturday, August 24th.
Okay. So we're going to dive into that. We don't have a ton of time, but I want to give sort of a Cliff's Notes version to the folks out there of Rebecca Connors. Who are you? Explain just kind of what you do, what your day-to-day looks like.
Sure. I am the recently hired public information officer. I am out of the Public Works Department. There's a lot of important projects that are coming through, and I'm here to help communicate all those different projects. And then I help the city and other departments where as needed, where we play as one big team, and so I'm there to help support those other departments as well.
Yeah, and you're 4 weeks on the job?
This is my fifth week. Yeah, okay. I'm having a blast.
I was trying to do the math. Okay. Yeah, so that's not bad.
No,
you're starting to get the hang of it?
I worked in local government in Missoula County for 6 years in elections and helped communicate complex election procedure and deadlines. And I love that, the communications aspect. And then when my husband and I moved to Helena, I worked for a local nonprofit in town, Reach Higher Montana, mm-hmm. and they help support students in exploring their options after high school. And so I helped communicate those strategies, and it led me to this great
You get
position.
All of us parents scholarships. I know they're for the kids, but they're for us parents. You're getting the parent scholarships.
Right. They're really good at finding scholarships there.
So, but now you've moved from scholarship to government and city government. We're talking, once again, we're talking with Rebecca Connors. We're talking hazardous waste collection. There's an event coming up. It's this weekend. It's Saturday out at the transfer station. Tell us what's happening there. It kicks off at 9 o'clock Saturday?
Sure. So anything that has that label, toxic warning, flammable, take those products, those chemicals, those household hazards to this event and dispose of them properly. What we're trying to avoid is people dumping these chemicals down their sink or dumping them in their backyard, because what happens is that makes its way into our water system. And so the solid waste department brings in a third-party contractor to collect these hazards. And this is the fourth year. The 3 years prior, the first year they had 49 people. The second year they had 50 people, and the third year they had 51 people.
So we're looking for 52 people out is what we're looking for. We need 52 volunteers.
52 times three, maybe. Yeah, we really want to make sure that people are utilizing this once a year event to be able to bring in these hazards. The other thing we want to also avoid is people taking things like bleach and ammonia and cleaning out the garage and disposing them in one container, and because that can be a hazard as well too. So,
and this is just for household, right? This is not like a business. You're not taking small businesses stuff here. This is household items.
This is not for businesses or commercial proprietors. They can contact the solid waste department and have those handled separately on a different day. But this is, purely just for the person who's at home, residences, anybody who has a home and they're looking to keep it, clean it up, get anything that has like a pesticide or small rodent like killer. Mm-hmm. Keep your pets and your children safe.
Anything you don't want to drink.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you have to, what's required? Do you have to have a permit for the transfer station? Or?
Yeah. So if you're a City of Helena resident with a permit or a scratch gravel permit holder, you can be able to use this event for free. It will not tick off on your what you dispose of on a weekly or annual basis.
Okay.
But you do have to be a permit holder for the City of Helena or scratch gravel.
Okay. And I know lots of paint can be on this list, but it's not all paint, right?
Not is the latex all point. Not latex is a tricky one, and that has to be handled separately. So we cannot accept latex paint on this Saturday the 24th, but we will be holding a separate event in September for latex. But you can bring in oil-based paint.
Okay.
You can bring in aerosol spray cans.
Is there anything else besides latex paint that's maybe a common thing that people have that you're not accepting?
Radioactive materials, another
okay.
one.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, because everybody's got that. So we want to make sure that you leave that at home.
And explosives. The things we're looking for is oil-based paints, paint thinners, degreasers, flammable liquids, fluorescent tubes, mercury, cleaning agents, ammonia water, anything of that nature that's just been sitting, collecting dust, and you're not using it. This is a great event to bring that in and have it disposed of properly.
Rebecca Connors is our guest this morning. She's our new public information officer. We're talking hazardous waste disposal. There's an event coming up at the transfer station. It's this Saturday. Starts at 9, runs till 3. Rebecca, why is this stuff that we can't just put out? My garbage is picked up on Wednesday. Why can't I take my aerosol cans and my oil paint and just put it in my garbage can and it'll be gone when I come home Wednesday afternoon?
Sure. Yes. So a lot of the times people do dispose of it through the solid waste system and putting it out with their garbage. What we're really trying to avoid is people dumping it down their sinks or dumping it in their backyard, which will turn into water runoff and go into our storm system and go through water treatment. We really want to keep this as well as having these chemicals combined in a trash can when they're disposed of, because we all know it's not good to mix ammonia and bleach. We're really using this event just to try to help people build awareness that we don't want these things to build up, and then to how to dispose of them properly, and that's by utilizing this event.
Yeah, and there's no fee for this. You don't drive up and it's a $2 admission to get in the gate type of thing.
This is free if you're a permit holder with the scratch gravel permit or the City of Helena waste permit.
If you're not, is there an option for you?
No, this is based on the way this contract is set up. It's okay. Just for those permit holders.
And the latex paint, once again, that event is coming up in September. That's a separate deal.
September, yeah. And if you have latex paint, best practice to do is take sand or dirt. And if you have like a half empty can of latex paint, put the sand or dirt in there, and that'll help be able to keep it from getting out or spilling, right. And you can bring those latex paints to the September event. And we'll have, follow us on social media at the City of Helena on Facebook. I've been plugging lots of events out there, such as this solid waste event, and also lots of great information. So that's a great resource for people to follow and stay on top of all of our events.
Is there a list there in case people are curious? You know, they're thinking, do I have something that's on that list? Is there a list somewhere that they can get on and look and sort of checklist items?
Absolutely. If you go to helenamt.gov, that is the homepage for the City of Helena. And we have an image when you first land there, and it shows some toxic household hazardous waste. And that will take you to a page to learn more about what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and all the little fine details.
Okay. Fantastic. That's super easy.
Super easy.
Yeah. And you mentioned, because we've got about a minute left, you mentioned social media. How do people find the City of Helena on social media? Because as you said, you're putting out events, you're putting out anything that's going on. I'm sure you're putting it out there.
Yeah. The Facebook page that we have for the City of Helena, I believe it's the City of Helena-Local Government, is a great resource just to stay on top of all the things that are happening at the city level, from events to temporary road closures, what projects are coming through. And we try to offer detours or information that can help you be able to navigate through all those different projects. And so it covers all the departments. Seems like there's a lot of public works projects coming through on the page. But so it's a great resource for information. So again, on Facebook, the City of Helena-Local Government is a great page to follow.
Yeah. You're still working down there on Front Street, but it's getting there.
It's getting there.
It's getting closer.
Mid-October, maybe early November.
Yeah. All right. Things are out in front of our place, things are. But Kurt says he's got something going on in front of his place now, too. So
yeah, all those projects are trying to squeeze in before the end of the summer.
Yeah. Rebecca Connors, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I sure appreciate it. You get a nice new red mug to take to your new office. So that's fantastic. Go down there, check it out at the transfer station Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.